Gosh, Casey, 8:43. Unions have warned that strike action involving ambulance workers could escalate in the new year unless the government agrees to meaningful pay talks. Thousands of ambulance staff were on strike yesterday in England and Wales in what has become a heated dispute about pay, job conditions and patient safety. NHS leaders said there was less disruption than feared after a number of 999 calls dropped across parts of the country. But trusts are now bracing themselves for an incredibly busy few days as patients who may have put off treatment come forward. The government has described the strikes as deeply regrettable and said any further pay increases would mean taking money away from other frontline services. Richard Slogger is founder and programme director of Future Health, a health policy research centre. He's also a former special advisor at the Department of Health and Social Care. Morning, Richard.
Good morning.
What do you make of the strikes and how things are playing out so far?
So I think on the strikes, one of the most sort of striking things is just how far the sides are apart. On one side, you've got the government, which has got a sort of 4%, 5% offer from the pay review body. And on the other side, you've got sort of demands of sort of 18-19%, particularly look at the nurses. And that is quite a big gap between the two sides. And it feels like both sides are sort of in the process of digging in. We're only 1 week in to the strikes, because the first one was last week. Mm-hmm. And it feels to me like both sides are really sort of digging in for this might be more of a marathon than a sprint.
What do you make of the independent pay boards? Because I've seen some people kind of querying just how independent it is, for starters.
Yeah, so I think this is one of the. I think the government's had a quite difficult first week of these strikes. If I'm being honest, and I think this pay review body is one of the major challenges that they face. I think what they wanted to do is to say, look, an independent pay process. That's made a recommendation of 4%, 5%. We're going to stick behind that, and that's going to be our offer. And that over time, that will look reasonable versus demands of 19%. However, as scrutiny has ramped up on the pay review body, people started to say, well, actually, how independent is this body? And what is its remit? Who's appointed to it? And how does it conduct itself? So that's one of the key government arguments that this has been trying to put forward. But I think it's buckling now, a week in, as a result of more scrutiny going on to how that body is constituted and what its remit is.
You tweeted that you think the government are losing. Why do you think that? And is this actually made harder because the government currently, if you look at polling, is just not that popular?
So I think there is. It'd be difficult for a popular government or a government that was sort of neck and neck in the polls to take on frontline NHS staff in an industrial dispute. But a government that's 25 points behind is going to find it a lot harder. Mm-hmm. But I also think this first week, what's the narrative been this week? And the narrative has actually not been about the pay as much. It hasn't been about 19%, which I think was what the government was hoping it would. The focus would be on that demand being unreasonable and unaffordable. And look, even the Labour Party said that it wouldn't pay 19% for the nurses, for example. But what the narrative has been is it's been about the state of the NHS, which is much, much harder for a government that's been in charge for 13 years and where the system is under huge amounts of pressure. We've got flu admissions going up, we've got COVID admissions going up, we've got strep A, we've got backlogs from COVID, and the system was under pressure even before COVID. So it's that narrative that I think is sort of taking hold this week, whereas actually it hasn't been known so much about the pay demands and that gap. It's been much more about the state of the NHS, which is in a really difficult place this winter.
Given your experience as a special advisor in the Department of Health, what kind of conversations is Steve Barclay going to be having at the moment?
So I think from a Department of Health perspective, this is what's also been quite interesting this week. So Steve Barclay is the face of the dispute because he is the health secretary, but his room for manoeuvre is quite small, to be honest, because he's got an envelope of funding that he can play with, which is limited. Really what you need is the Treasury in number 10 to give him a little bit more flexibility to actually start to have some discussions about pay. Now, there has been, if you believe media reports over the weekend, some discussions about a one-off payment or some sort of ability to do something differently. And I think the interesting thing about, because obviously this is one or two disputes of many, many disputes across the public sector, are we moving now to a place where actually this strike is going to be dealt with slightly differently. Strikes can be dealt with slightly differently than some of the other strikes, such as the rail worker strike or the postal strikes, for example. Can you make a special case for nurses and from other frontline staff? And is the momentum for that one-off case building after this week? I would probably argue it has.
So in your view, is the only way that this really moves forward with some kind of intervention from number 10?
So I think, and that's why I also think the unions have started to move their focus and move their attention sort of away from Steve Barclay and towards Rishi Sunak and Number 10, because ultimately it does sit with the Prime Minister and Number 10 to be able to come up with a package that might work. And interestingly, if you look back historically, the sort of ambulance strike of 1989, 1990, the government strategy was very similar. It was the union pay demands were too high, and what they would do is they'll wait it out and public opinion would turn, and it didn't. And I think there's some learnings there for the government. And they ended up settling about halfway. If you look at what happened in Scotland last week, there were two unions that did accept a pay offer which was higher than the 4%. It was about 7.5%. Yeah. So there is some room here for negotiation and to do a deal. But at the moment, it feels to me that both sides are very much digging in, and the government might need to consider moving in the new year.
Good speech this morning. Thanks for your thoughts, Richard.